Okay, good. So, Melanie, maybe you could just tell us what your role is and how you came about being interested in taking part in the calls and.
Okay, I am the new curator here at Oregon State, and I will be teaching plant structure each year. I'm very interested in plant morphology and anatomy. I am a plant systematist working in ferns, and I'm interested in using the ISO tool with my classes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, great. So maybe just to get you acquainted with the rest of us, we could go around and introduce ourselves. Austin, do you want to start?
Oh, I was muted. Sorry. Yeah, sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
I'm Austin. I'm a postdoc here, and I work on the Plantiome project as curator for the plant stress ontology that we're working on now.
Great.
And your background is.
Is that enough? Oh, yeah. My PhD is in plant breeding from University of Wisconsin. So I'm a potato breeder by training, but now I'm an ontology guy.
And now, and lots of learning, lots of coding, and
Yeah, doing lots of the scripting and Python and things. So it's been great.
And you work on the other ontologies as well.
Yep.
But mainly the plant stress is your big project.
I dabble, yeah.
Okay, how about Brandon? You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm a my name is Branson. I am a postdoc here at New York Botanical Garden with Dennis Stevenson. And I have a PhD from Ohio State, mainly dealing with plant systematics.
Okay. You know I'm taking notes.
Okay, good. And Dario, you're there. You don't have a separate login, but you're sitting there, right? So.
I join the calls with Brandon. We sit next to each other on these calls. And I am the technician at the New York Botanical Garden, working with Dennis and Brandon on this project.
Okay.
So, do you know, Melanie, do you know Dennis Stevenson by any chance?
The name does not ring a bell.
Well, he couldn't make the call today, but he will be on future ones. And
Okay.
what's Dennis's position there at the New York Botanic Garden?
He is director of plant science.
Okay.
So, and he was involved in our plant ontology project and has been a great resource for us for delving into these arcane plant structures that we deal with.
Okay.
Okay, how about Marie Angelique, who's calling in from Montpellier, France?
I'm a postdoc also on the Plantium project, and I'm based in Montpellier in France at Biodiversité Internationale. And my background, I have a PhD in ecological informatics, and I work on the different ontologies, particularly the crop ontology that we develop here at Biodiversity. So it's more plant traits, but that are crop specific and that are used by breeders. So breeders traits.
Yeah, and you guys deal with a lot of different species.
Yes.
What about 30, probably? Around 30?
Yeah, no, yeah, 21, 21.
21 species, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess you know Pankaj already. Pankaj, do you want to say hi? I don't know if he's muted. No. He's doing something else. So anyway, and I'm Laurel Cooper. I stopped by and said hi to you yesterday, so that we'd know who was the face behind the voice. And I have a PhD in plant molecular biology, and I've worked with Pankaj here since about 2010, 2011. Worked originally on the plant ontology project, and now we got it refunded to expand that into the Plantiome project, which encompasses more ontologies. So I do a lot of curation, I do a lot of project management, and I do a lot of kind of bioinformatic analysis and so on. So what we're going to do today, we have a bunch of other people on the project, and we never really know who's going to join these calls, and so people may join in a little bit late if they come on. So, but I think we should go ahead and get started.
Yeah, so Elizabeth won't be able to join
Okay.
today.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anything from Chris or Barry, so we have a couple of other of the group members. We have some people down in New York, and we have people down in California, and then we have other folks who are from England and and France that are involved with the project. So it's a pretty big group. So we've been working with Brandon and Dario. I've been working with Brandon and Dario on the development of these terms to describe the fruit types. Mm-hmm. Originally, the Planetology had fruit type terms, and then those, you know, way back in the beginning of the Planetology, like probably in about 2004 or 5, those were merged into the term fruit. But now that we're expanding into these specific traits in our trait ontology, we find that we need a bit more granularity. Mm-hmm. So this has been kind of a big chunk of work that the guys have been doing down at the garden and developing this hierarchy. You can, as, can everybody see the screen with the hierarchy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is a shot, a screenshot from our ontology editing tool, which is called Protégé. And so we have, I'm going to go over to the Google Doc here because we have all the notes on our Google Doc that we've been kind of working on. So, and Brandon and Dario, do you want me to give you control of the screen, or do you want me to run it and you can talk, or what do you want to do?
It's up to you. Whatever is more natural for you. I have it up as well. Since it's already up on your screen, we could just scroll through.
Okay. Okay. So we covered some of these fruits last week. I think one of the decisions last week was to add the word fruit after each name. Okay. So I'm sorry. I'll stop talking and you can go ahead and.
So I think we ended at capsule fruit, right?
Okay.
I mean, or that's where we should pick up, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got through all the different fleshy fruit types, and we decided that we're going to describe the three layers of pericarp in each definition, and then adjust the beginning of the definition where it says develops from, and then the type of female reproductive structure, so whether it's a gynoecium from a syncarpus gynoecium or from a single carpel.
Right.
And so we did that to all of the other definitions and made those changes.
Okay.
So we can pick those up from capsule fruit.
Okay.
And did you want to go through them each one like we did last time?
Yeah, I think that's good. And then Pankaj can hear them and Melanie can listen and make suggestions if you want to. I don't know how you are in your fruit types. And we have some images too if we need to look at the images.
Yeah, those are in the Google Drive folder. So the first term we should do is capsule fruit. So this encompasses several children or subclasses. So this is a fruit which develops from a gynoecium, comprises a dry exocarp, dry mesocarp, dry endocarp, and it dehisces at maturity. So each of these subtypes inherit that definition. And that sort of lays things out for each of the capsules we'll come upon below.
Okay.
So we have some synonyms, just capsule in various languages. And then we say in our comment that capsule fruits divided into subcategories depending upon the location of the sutures in the pericarp where the seeds are released. So basically where and how they dehisce.
Right.
So either through septa or through the locules or through both of those structures or in a pore, that sort of thing. So that's the higher level here. Does that make sense to everyone so far?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And so circumcissal capsule fruit, adding fruit to each of these makes it more fun to read for me. So circumcissal capsule fruit is a capsule fruit which dehisces through the release of a fruit operculum. And so fruit operculum is a pre-existing PO term that we list there. And then we have synonyms here, some new, some including terms that were on that big overarching fruit term that we started with. And let's see, and then our comment is pretty straightforward. It's just one example.
Yeah. One comment on this, it might be helpful for users if there's a note in the comment about how this relates back to your, you know, the location of the sutures and so on. Like, does the operculum, is that part of the exocarp or?
Yeah.
So the operculum would be all three layers of the pericarp.
Yeah, so I think a little comment here might be helpful. Let me just look, I've got it up on Dev here. I can pull it up on Dev here. me move my thing out of the way here.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so in one of the definitions, the comments are where it says subcategories. I don't think we call it subcategories.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Classes, maybe?
Subclasses.
Okay. I can change that right now.
Yeah.
I see Laurel's doing it now.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. I didn't mean it that way, like, oh, you took it from me. It was just surprising and interactive to see the little
picture. That's a good thing about Google Docs. Yeah. So, and then my comment was that maybe we just need a little description of how this relates to the comment above. Let me just see where we are here.
Yeah, so pretty long.
So it actually even talks about a circumcessile. Is that spelled correctly?
Yeah.
There's a difference there. We'll have to look into that.
This one has eyes, an eye.
Yeah. I will make a note of that.
Yeah, and so we should...
Our weird historical differences.
Yeah.
That aren't really unified.
Found it in eucalyptus. Oh, okay. So it might be good to put eucalyptus. Oh, you've got eucalyptus grandis. Okay, yeah. So that makes sense. And we had some nice images of eucalyptus operculums, I think, at one point.
Yeah, we've had a few here at the garden that I've been taking photographs of. So.
Yeah. Remember when we were, I thought we did some stuff with that when we were out at the garden at one point. So.
It could be.
So maybe check on that spelling.
Will do.
And maybe we could have some kind of comment or even a comment on fruit operculum about how that relates to the pericarp. Like it's the whole pericarp?
Yeah, it is. So it would be, it would include all three layers. And so the suture would go through all three of those layers.
Any chance we have a picture of that in our little folder here?
I actually don't have a picture of a circumcessile capsule on there.
No, it's like this thing though, right?
Yep.
Well, here's the...
And so it's that little cap.
It's the little cap here?
Yeah, that's the operculum that comes off.
Mm. And it's in your second one from the right, on the top row.
This guy here. Oh, yeah. Operculum. It's interesting. They call it outer whorl, inner whorl. Huh. So maybe make a little note, too, to just take a look at that fruit operculum definition.
Okay, sounds good.
The spelling on that. And
and one question.
Use the proper name in the POID now that we have one there.
Can we go back to the Google Doc?
Uh-huh.
So in the circumcessile capsule fruit, we have the capsule fruit parent in its term name, but we don't have something for urticle, or I don't know what, how do you pronounce it? Urticle fruit. Do you want to have the parent name in it? Urticle circumcessile capsule fruit?
It's a child of circumcessile capsule fruit.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do that one next.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they're indented according to, they're in line with their parents. So okay, if we go down Cochlearium is in line with circumcision.
Yeah. Great. No,
what I'm trying to say is that like circumcessile capsule fruit has capsule
fruit term
coming from the parent.
Right, right.
The bottom two don't have that.
Yes, because your tickle fruit, the parent of it is the circumcisal capsule fruit. That's why they're indented, because it's a hierarchy. This is the parent term here.
Yes.
I think he's talking about the actual name.
Actual term name have the parent name in it.
Circumcisal capsule fruit has the words capsule fruit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Whereas urticle fruit does not have circumcisal capsule fruit.
Would this normally have been called a urticle capsule?
No, would just be an urticle. But we can add capsule fruit. Like the same with a cacarium, so, that would just be called a cacarium. not a Kakarian capsule, but we can add capsule fruit to keep things in order.
I don't know, however we have used in the past to maintain the consistency.
Okay. Yeah, what we did here was just add fruit to everything, but I see what you mean. So you're suggesting urticle circumcisal capsule fruit?
I mean, you can or you cannot, but you have to be just consistent across all. So you could have said circumcisal fruit and not had capsule in it, but you use capsule there. So you need to make sure you're consistent because these are all, in some ways, they're all children of capsule fruit.
So, yeah, because this is the way the term is kind of used in the literature, circumcisal capsule.
Okay.
Correct.
So
that's fine.
The decision point is, do we want to add capsule to the urticle?
Well, and since that is a child of circumcisal capsule, it would be urticle circumcisal capsule fruit, right? If we were to do that across.
Yeah.
These terms, okay. I just want to make sure
I'm not super crazy about that name, but
yeah.
But I could see the argument to put capsule in there because it does give people kind of a reference to what it is.
Okay.
Because added fruit anyway. I mean, I don't think anyone's calling it a urticle fruit.
Yeah.
But the urticle circumcisal capsule fruit is kind of I wouldn't advocate for doing that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts, guys?
I mean, from a literature standpoint, I wouldn't advocate doing it either, but I see what he means in relation to each of these being, you know, children, you know, of a certain parent.
Yeah. But you know, we haven't, I mean, that's not something we've really done in the PO. So it's not like, we have to follow some standard that's been carried on in the past.
Mm-hmm. Then it's fine. Then leave it as it is.
The key thing is that the name is clear to people, you know, and so they kind of understand what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Move on.
Okay. Yeah, and so circumcisal capsule has just one subclass, and that is urticle that we've been talking about. And this is basically, I mean, I shouldn't say basically, it is a circumcisal capsule that just contains one seed. And so its parent is, you know, think about an opening where it breaks in this circumference, has many loose seeds in it. Here in an urticle, we just have one of those. Only a single example, two.
So is there another structure that has more than one seed?
The circumcisal capsule.
The top one.
Yeah, but the parent.
So there should be a comment up here that says that it may have one or more seeds.
I think we didn't do that because it was in fruit that it may, like, just the definition of fruit in general is could have, I think it ends with may have one or more seeds.
Yep.
And so we just didn't repeat that, but we could.
I think that might help because otherwise, you know, when you have a single child term, uh-huh. I mean, for me, I kind of look to see where the sibling is, like where's the one that has multiple seeds.
Okay.
So if it has multiple seeds, it's a circumcisal capsule fruit. And if it just has one seed, then it's a urticle.
Yes. Urticle. Yeah.
Urticle. Yeah.
So like Brandon was saying, that because the definition for fruit says that it may have one or more seeds, can we make this circumcisal capsule seed number a comment?
We could make it a comment.
Say that this, in a circumcisal capsule fruit, there are more than one seeds, and then we can move the thing about the seeds and urticle and the urticle definition to the comment as well.
Well, I would think I would leave that in there if that's an important distinction.
No, okay. But on the other hand, what I'm thinking is that if circumcisal capsule fruit is defined as whatever with dehiscence through release of fruit operculum and has one or more number of seeds, right? So that parent do we really need this article fruit as a term, or it can work as a synonym?
Well,
what's the big difference between the two except for the number of seeds? There is no such.
I don't know.
I'm not a botanist, so tell me, what is the big difference between the two terms?
Actually, it's kind of like the situation with a nut, in that urtical fruit, you, instead of having it as its own term, you could have it as a narrow synonym, because there is just that one difference. And the same thing with an acorn, it's a type of nut, but it's got this like receptacle attached to it, and so it's considered like a very specific type of nut. So we could move urtical fruit, or just it would just be urtical, to a narrow synonym of circumcisal capsule. But maybe if we do that, we'd also want to include something in the comment about urtical fruit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like it doesn't hurt to have it as a separate term. If we're breaking things out, we broke out palm and
yeah.
You know, there is kind of a fundamental structural difference between them, so I think we have a case for having a separate term there.
I think along that line, urtical is a big sort of defining of amaranthaceae. They're economically important things, so we just figured it would be something of interest to have in there.
Yeah.
Mapping and just be familiar to people like palm and people, but...
Okay. Yeah. Then that's fine.
I think it makes sense to keep it as a separate one. We just have to make sure that we kind of differentiate them.
Okay.
And if you put the, you know, if you put the comment on, we could do it right here. Make a little note here.
I know Melanie is listening, so feel free, Melanie, to chime in your suggestions too.
Okay. Yeah. So if we put a comment on here that it could have one or more seeds, and then this specific type.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's good to have feedback from wider community.
Yeah.
Because we're defining some things for the community, and we don't want to take all the burns.
Yeah, I mean, and all of the research that we've put into this is mostly what is used most often in the literature. We are very much taking that into account, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So.
Okay, so just to summarize, just to make sure I'm on the same page, we're going to include the comment about the seeds and circumcisal capsule fruit, but leave the seed, the distinction about the seeds in the definition for urtical fruit.
I think that's a good way to go, because that's what distinguishes it, right?
Yeah.
And you notice, Pankaj, I don't know if you noticed, but they've put in some synonyms in German.
That's
now fantastic. We have German as well as French and I mean as well as Spanish and Japanese. So.
So I'm pretty sure we are going to see a lot of umlautes.
Yeah. But otherwise, are these two definitions okay?
Yeah.
We're okay.
Okay.
Let's move on to calcarium then.
Okay.
So this is a capsule fruit. Which dehisces through the fruit septa and the fruit locules. So the spaces where the ovules are and also the areas dividing each locule. Okay, so this, we have a couple examples, a couple synonyms, pretty straightforward definition for us.
One comment, remember to use ah instead of da.
Oh, like a fruit septa?
Yeah.
This was more than one. And
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is it through both the fruit septa and the fruit locules, or are you simply saying that it can be one or the other?
It's both.
Okay. I think that should be explicit.
Maybe we could put
that's both. What we're by saying I see.
I'll put this in italics so you know
That's great.
Does that work for you guys?
Yeah, it's fine.
That's fine.
So we can keep the so that it's clear that it's plural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read it again. Capsule fruit. You could almost just leave them out. You know, we could almost just take them out, I think. Just see how this looks if I take them out and read it again.
I think the needs to be there. It makes it sound like there's two fruit septa.
Yep. Yeah.
to immediate here, though. I don't know.
That's fine.
Yeah, I like that.
And one thing we have noticed that I think we got rid of the dehiscent and indehiscent fruits terms, right?
Yes, as like categories, you mean?
Upper level thing?
Yeah.
Yes,
we do. I was wondering if we can have somewhere broad synonym or some suggesting that it's a dehiscent or an indehiscent fruit.
Okay, so on each of these, if it's dehiscent or indehiscent as a broad synonym?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we could do that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and the reason why we removed is because it's more or less like a function or a phenotype of that fruit, right?
Yeah, but it is commonly used in literature. That'll help people, I think.
So people would say, show me all the dehiscent fruits, and then they would get all of those which have the broad synonym.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that a lot.
And that's usually how fruit types are broken up when they're being taught by indehiscent and dehiscent.
Yeah.
Thanks. So all of these ones are dehiscent.
Yeah.
The capsule.
Anything capsule is dehiscent.
And then these fleshy ones are indehiscent, yeah.
There is an indehiscent capsule in Fabaceae, but we haven't dealt with it. It's a weird, fun little thing, but we'll come to that later for the extreme weirdos once we have the hierarchy. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And what's this manihot? Do we have a common name for that?
We don't actually.
Manihot is cassava.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that particular species, I didn't know, so we didn't put it in, but it was in the list with current annotations. That's why we incorporated it.
Oh, it's on a list. So is it cassava?
I think
it's a relative. It's a
something. I mean, it's a relative, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Is it from the same genus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the ones that's on the annotation list.
Yes.
Yeah. So are there other examples that people might be familiar with?
This isn't a common fruit type, and it doesn't exist in a lot of economically important plants. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What's that thing?
Yeah, a golf ball.
It's a golf ball, yeah. That's a weird structure.
So I think, does manihot esculenta doesn't have the same type?
You know, I'm not sure about them.
Can you check manihot esculenta, E-S-C-U-L-E-N-T-A?
We have that down for schizocarp fruit. So schizocarpic fruit, it's a different fruit type.
Oh.
They list Liliaceae here, at least one species of Liliaceae, so.
Yeah, we'll look into the synonyms. Yeah,
okay.
See what we come up with. That guide right there is a book on my desk right now. That's enough.
That, right?
That is it's a very interesting document. So we use it a lot.
Use that a lot. Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's right. Where a lot of this has been modified from, basically.
I'll just put a little note here.
Yeah, it's a good bookmark to have. It gives you an idea of how much people can split up these terms into many, many hundreds of terms. So.
Okay, shall we move on?
All right, so I'm going to go to locucidal.
Locucidal, okay.
Capsules. Okay, so this is the capsule that dehisces through the locules now. So the sutures are in the middle of each locule rather than breaking up on the septa. I mean, on the, the locule septa, fruit septa. Again, a couple examples, short definition, couple examples, several synonyms.
I'll scroll up here. Oh, cotton, yeah. So, you know, I see the point that Pankaj was raising, because here we have capsule fruit here, but in cocarium we don't.
Yeah.
It's because people just use the word cocarium by itself.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah.
As a potential user, I think that having that capsule inserted in there would actually be helpful.
In here? I could go for that.
Yeah, and because many times people are just reading the term name.
Yeah.
They don't know the hierarchy, and they may not read the definition, depending on the tool that they are using.
Yeah. And we have added fruit anyway to the name, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So.
I think, yeah, to be consistent, I think we should have.
And maybe we could just put capsule in here and not the full circumcisal, but it still is a capsule, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Okay.
Okay.
They're in italics so that you know that those need to be added.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so
that's loculocidal.
Loculocidal.
And then below here we have porocidal. So instead of a suture and a locule, this is a capsule fruit which dehisces through pores in the pericarp, so openings in the pericarp. So think of a poppy, these pores that open along the top, seeds disperse through that.
Yeah, I've grown a lot of them in my gardens.
I just want to look real quick for the pore. Do we need the term pericarp pore?
We could. I mean, we had a operculum. Let's see.
But the operculum is more like a cap.
Or it would be an anatomical space.
It would be an anatomical space, yeah. We have other kinds of pores, like we have anthropores.
It would technically be anatomical negative space, right?
Yeah.
Because it's created after the dehisis, or because of the pulling up of the operculum from the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't know actually development of that pore. If I think it's just a split through the pericarp that just sort of reflexes into that sort of lid that you see over the pore itself and say poppy. But that's another comment we can look at, pericarp pore.
So this is just a capsule. It's not one of these ones with the operculum. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a simple structure that is removed. It's a split in the pericarp that is pore-like.
So wait a second. So the pericarp actually has pores when it's dehisceing, or when it is ready to dehisce, the pericarp splits and creates pores?
So I don't actually know the development of these pores, but if it's developed in the same way that like the loculocidal capsule is opening, the pericarp develops, and then when it's completely mature, it breaks along that suture. So in a porocidal capsule, I'm assuming the suture is just a hole. But I'm not positive about the way these pores develop.
So here's the poppy.
No, the extreme right-hand side, the one you have, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so those dark lines underneath the top portion are the pores. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if, yeah.
Yep. That's a really nice picture. Just peel back.
Actually, try this one.
Are you putting it in the chat?
Yeah. No, the green one I'm showing you, it should be showing up on your screen. I marked it with green. That image on this.
Oh.
Oh, you can draw on it.
This one. Yeah, the third one on the top row.
Yeah.
I didn't know we could draw on the screen. I like that.
Oh, that
the graffiti.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just scribbling on my screen.
That's so
kind of like this. This is
the top thing. That's the thing that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how those pores develop, but we can look into that because we do have someone here that studies fruit development in poppies. So I can ask her after the meeting.
Sure.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
My gut feeling is that when it dehydrates, because of the tension, something is pulled up.
That's what it looks like.
Kind of like
so it ruptures along the pericarp.
Yeah, that could very well be it.
But you have these big veins. These are your xylem things or vasculature. that stays intact because of its some secondary plant products or lignin deposited in those cells. Mm-hmm. And it stays, it does not rupture, but the rest of the other one things rupture.
That makes sense. Those so might look like the septa.
Yeah, I think those are.
Is not quite the right word for that.
So I should remove all my
annotations. Those are
no, I like them. Can you leave them?
There you go.
You know, we could just say an opening.
Okay, yeah, this will be fun to look into. Delve into this more deeply.
And so are we concerned that because we have a definition for pore or other types of pores and this won't fit that type of that definition?
Yeah, I would be careful about using pore if it's not actually like a real pore. If it's just an opening, you know, from the tissue drying out, then we might want to just say an opening on the pericarp.
Okay.
Yeah, just discuss with the person who's done doing that research what is the most common used words.
Okay.
So that's porticidal. And then septicidal is very similar to loculicidal that we saw. But in the septicidal, this is a split that's happening along the septa rather than the locules.
Okay. And there's in this case, there's only one?
With regard to the septa?
Yeah.
Septicidal capsule.
No, this is, I think this is a leftover, the A here is a leftover from what we were talking about before, whether to use A or the, and you were saying that we should use A, but we were worried about plurality, and so right. I think it's just not corrected here. So, E fruit septa.
So, because there's more than one?
Yes.
Yeah, we need to think about that a little bit. See, maybe I'll just explain this to Melanie. See, the distinction in the ontology, we always try to refer to universals rather than specifics.
Yes.
So we say, normally we would use the meaning it could be any fruit septa in the universe, not the specific fruit septa, yes. not one instance of a fruit septa. And so generally, we try to avoid being specific, like saying the, you know, the leaf or whatever. But it's a little bit more complicated if it's a plural.
Mm-hmm.
Is the term, the actual PO term is septum?
I'm not sure. Let me check that out.
Septum is singular.
Yeah.
And
yeah. One more thing. Should we use the fruit septa or septum completely, or should say portion of?
We could say splits. I can give some positional sort of thing.
Because when we describe the tissue types like fruit septa, then we say it's a portion of.
Well, fruit septum. Let me see what it is.
Hmm.
No, it's a multi-tissue plant structure.
Okay.
Septum, I see.
Yeah, it's a collective organ part structure. Yeah, it's not a portion of plant tissue. So we're okay there, but...
That's fine then.
If we wanted to use the word septum, which is the correct name here, do we know how many there are?
Well, there could be many. So the one thing we ran into, if it just split along, let's say one, that could be like, you know, a follicle just along one portion of the capsule rather than through both outer walls of the septa. So, I mean, we won't know how many, no.
Okay. So I think we're okay there. Barry might have a problem with it, but we can deal with that.
So the question what we are looking at is fruit septa is depending on, it would be there or not depending on the number of locules it has.
Yeah, the number would be dependent on the number of locules, yes.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be a capsule fruit which dehisces through the fruits one or more fruit septum when present?
Well, it would have to be more than one fruit septa because you're only going to have a septa if you have more than one locule.
Yeah.
So we could say that it hisses through more than one fruit septa.
I think it would be most universal just to say which dehisses through fruit septa.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually, I like that better. The fewer words, the better.
So we should do the same thing to locule cytocapsule fruit.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so too.
Fruit locules or locule?
Well, see, this is the same situation where there's more than one, right?
Yeah.
So if these are the locules here, they don't have septa?
They are separated by septa.
But it doesn't, the septa is not what separates.
That's not where the dehiscence happens. Yeah, this is the suture where the pericarp splits is there in the locules. In the other example, it's along the septa.
Okay. Dehisces through... I almost think we need something there, like one or more fruit locules.
Well, it will always be more than one.
Right.
I think it's fine as fruit locules. Just with the plurality of locules denotes the more than one and conveys it.
Can there be one though?
No, that'd be just a carpal rather than a syncarpus chain.
Oh, okay.
Just for the people who may not make confused with what is a septa, in a comment for with loculicidal, we say if it is rupturing through, no, in the loculicidal, if it is rupturing through septa, please use the term.
Right, right.
Providing more information in the comment.
Yeah, you could add a comment saying that if it's coming from the septa, use the septicidal.
Yep.
Okay. So direct to each other through the comment section?
Yes.
Okay. And
the same for septicidal ones.
Should we include cocarium in that direction or that sentence?
I think so. That makes sense. If we're doing that for loculicidal and septicidal.
Because it's a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't quite catch that last.
Okay.
So what was, I got distracted there a little bit. What are we putting on the comment here?
I think it was direction that if it splits through the septa, map to septicidal capsule. If it splits through the septa and the locules, map to cocarium.
And then we're going to put a similar comment on septicidal capsule fruit and cocarium, just mapping to the other ones or directing to the other ones.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just put this where you remember. Put this in italics for you. You can put that in. Okay. So we've done the septicidal, okay?
Yeah, so we're on to silique. Or silique.
Silique. Okay.
So this is a fruit, develops from a gynecium, comprises a dry exocarp, dry mesocarp, dry endocarp, and now we have dehiscence of the pericarp along two fruit valves, so two splits in this capsule that separate from a persistent fruit replum, which is sort of think of it as a specialized septum here that stays in the middle of this fruit.
So does it rupture from the top tip or the bottom?
The sides. Think of like two lateral splits in the pericarp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and this is like a rhabdopsis.
Exactly, rhabdopsis, yeah.
I don't know if I would use comprises here. I don't know.
Well, I use comprises because that's what we decided on for the poem and people in the last meeting. Because I think we had composed of, and we thought that comprises was more appropriate than that.
So here's a caveat here. I think the dryness would appear only at the fruit maturity. So you need to say that. It's not always dry exocarp, okay? So you need to say which develops from gynesium, but at maturity, it has a dry exocarp, dry mesocarp, and dry endocarp.
That's the case for all the like the capsules and things too. Those, all of these fruits dry out.
Right, but the way the sentence reads right now, until I reach up to the end to listen, that it says that it right from the beginning it has a dry exocarp.
Okay.
So we could just move this
move it after
the dryness is dependent on the developmental stage of that fruit.
How's that? Yeah. How's that?
Much better.
Okay.
I'll just put that in the towel. I'll put that in. Red, so you know I moved it.
Sounds
good. So it's So a fruit which develops from a gynecium and at maturity comprises a dry exocarp, dry mesocarp, and dry endocarp that dehiss along two fruit valves.
So, Melanie,
what is it that separates from a persistent fruit replum?
Yes.
So what is it that separates?
The pericarp.
Mesocarp and endocarp separate from a persistent fruit replum?
The three layers.
Yeah, all three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I almost instinctively feel like that should be a which, but it's not super important, I don't think. But
it's just, I left it. So I thought the same thing, actually, because I was thinking pericarp. But since it was plural, I left it with... Well, I was thinking, since we have enumerated each of these three layers, I left it at that.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, and in the comment, I think since we are using gynesium, we should say multicarpillary, right?
Can you say that one more time?
It occurs in multicarpillary
gynesium. Okay, so like,
it's
say...
It's not because... And the reason I'm telling you, because the way we are using carpal is that when there is single carpal, and right. Then...
Yes.
Gynesium, if it is multicarpillary. And when you teach in the botany class at the high school level, gynesium is considered as a floral whorl, which represents any number of carpels in it. So it's a mixed strategy. So you need to say why. So it has to be multicarpillary.
Okay. We can do that in a comment.
Yeah.
Do you want that for any of these terms that...
Wherever you have used gynesium.
Okay.
It's not very apparent to many of the people who use this term as a word, not in terms of single carpal.
Yeah, that is something that we're doing very special because of that comment. So I see what you're coming from, where you're coming from for that.
Okay.
All right, and so on to follicle.
Follicle fruit.
So the fruit develops from a carpal, presents a dry mesocarp, endocarp, which dehiss along a single fruit valve. So one split in the pericarp. And we're going to contrast that with legume, which comes next. And so milkweed pods, think of that. And we have pod as a broad synonym here, and then some exact synonyms.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this Carolina larkspur needs to be capitalized?
Carolina could be capitalized, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I saw something else above that I thought...
And maturity would go up first.
You want to move the maturity
we'll move
up.
As in salute.
Okay. Sure, nice to work in Google Docs rather than the wiki.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, and like you said, even if something's not, I mean, you have it in italics, but even if it's not, you could track changes so easily.
Right,
and
right.
It's really nice.
Yeah, you can always look at the recent changes. Okay, good.
Okay.
Which do you see here? You have which.
Oops.
So I kind of like the which better. I would advocate for using which above as well. This up here.
I'm just used to using that if there are multiple units. So just because I failed to change.
So maybe we just want to be consistent with one another. Yeah. Matter to me. Okay. And so now we have the pod on here as a broad synonym.
We do. For both legume and follicle.
So what about for silique, though?
Is that used for silique? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do people that work in Arabidopsis call them pods?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, we don't have to worry about it then.
No, silique.
They actually use the correct name? Wow. All right. Do we want to move on to legume? Right,
let's go into legume. So,
okay. Yeah, we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour, so.
Okay. Yeah, so the legume is very similar to the follicle we just talked about, but we have two splits in the pericarp instead of just one.
Okay.
And we'll have to move that at maturity again.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
I just removed the word single.
I saw that. That was sneaky.
Well, I just saw it while he was talking, and I was like, well, that's got to go.
Yeah, we fixed that and a couple of other things before. So I'm a carpal, and at maturity comprises the dry exocarp, dry mesocarp, dry endocarp, which dehiss along two fruit valves.
Yes.
Okay.
Some examples. We put members of Fabaceae, but then also listed, again, the species from that bioentities or annotations.
I would not say Fabaceae, I would just say Leguminaceae, because Fabaceae is a much higher order.
Leguminaceae isn't a family. We could take it up to a higher level, like legume, but you want it above the family level then?
No, and there is a reason why I'm trying to say that. Just a second. Yeah, because your strawberry also is part of the Fabids.
Oh, Fabids. Oh, that's...
That would confuse. So I think you...
So Fabaceae is the broad family for legumes. I mean, it's broken in some families now, but Fabid is a higher category than we're talking about.
Yes. So I think you, in particular, you're trying to say that it's anything which is legume-like.
Well, anything that's in the legume family.
So it will be leguminosity, right?
No,
it's Fabaceae.
Fabaceae? That's fine. Then it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's Stace Alpiniaceae and a couple things have been broken out of Fabaceae, but that's a broad name, not including Rosaceae, so.
Well, okay. We don't have the word legume in the comment. Should we include that in the comment? So, like, some members of Fabaceae, I don't know, find a way to work in the word legume. Would that be helpful for the users?
I believe so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is kind of a vague comment. I don't think this is actually terribly helpful. Okay. Because you don't say which members.
It's the reason we put it in is very diagnostic for the family.
But then you have the same comment on the one below, some members of Fabaceae.
Yeah, because the loment is pretty rare compared to, you know, its parent term. And so it would be easier to say what have loments rather than what have, it's like the law of complements, basically.
Right.
It'd be easier to say what have loment rather than legumes.
Because this comment, members of the Fabaceae, it sounds like it's all members, because down here you say some members.
That is fine, because it's a subclass.
Right, but is this true? All members of Fabaceae?
Yeah. Lorment is a legume type.
Right, right. I know. I understand that. But I'm asking if all members of the Fabaceae.
Yeah, it's basically the defined characteristic. Yeah.
And then these are the specific cases that you're mentioning.
Yes, those are just from the. We only included those because they were in the list.
Right, and those are important agricultural.
Yes. Right.
We might say including.
Sure.
Pigeon pea and so on.
We could change members of Fabaceae to defining characteristic of the fruit type of members of Fabaceae. That would make it more explicit that it's applicable to the whole thing and sort of beef up that comment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Say again.
Yes, I think that's great. Defining characteristic of the Fabaceae.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. Okay, and then the Lomant fruit is more specific because it's constricted between each seed.
And lentils is only Lens culinaris, or is it any kind of lentil?
I don't know that. I just pulled that from the list and wrote lentil. I think the S there is a holdout from when we wrote like chickpeas, peppers, those things, and we started making them singular. And I think that S is accidental there, basically. It's a typo.
Yeah, but Lens culinaris, I think there are many different kinds of lentils. Oh, lentil and pulses. People call it pulses. Outside of the U.S., generally people call everything, all those things, pulses.
Okay, so we'll make sure that it's not just that species.
Yeah.
Okay. And then add the word pulses. How do you spell that?
Like P-L-S-E-S.
Okay.
So 2016 is the year of pulses.
That's right. Oh, excuse me. Okay.
All righty.
Two more minutes to finish Lomant.
Okay.
What about Lomant? Is that pretty straightforward? It's just a legume that is constricted between each seed. So like the quote pod itself is constricted between each of the seeds.
Do we want to add at maturity?
I don't know if it's only at maturity that it's constricted between the seeds. I'd have to look into it.
That could happen after something dries out. I'll make a note to check into that.
Okay. Because it is on the parent term, but yeah, okay. All right, do you want to stop there and continue next week?
We have quite a bit to look up, so I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
And we've got quite a few more here to deal with, so some big ones. Probably wouldn't be able to get through all of them in a.
Yeah, I think Akeen and so forth will be a good chunk for our next meeting. That'll take a while.
Great. Any other updates or comments while we're here? I was wondering, is Marie still on the line? It looks like she maybe.
I think she said she had to go soon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's at. They're having a meeting in Montpellier that she's at, so she's kind of busy. It's late in the day there for her.
All right.
Okay, guys and girls and folks, this has been good.
Well, thank you for the feedback.
Yeah, thanks for all your hard work on this. And Melanie, thanks for coming. And we'll be happy if you want to join again. And
We'd love to.
Okay.
For sure. It was nice meeting you.
It was nice meeting you, Melanie.
Nice meeting all of you.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Yes, 1 second.
Okay. I'm going to stop my share in the meeting.